Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and today I'm flying solo because Michelle's off getting awards for all the great work that she does. You know, as an expert in nutrition and fitness, one of the sectors that I'm really interested in is binge eating. And why? Because I think it's just the largest sector out there. Raise your hand if you've ever had a binge or two or three or countless. Well, yeah, see all the hands flying all over the place. Well, this is why I have today the founder of the Binge Eating Disorder Association, who's going to be joining us to explain 5 ways to stop binge eating in its tracks. I'm so pleased that my very dear friend, Shavice Turner, the founder of BEDA, the Binge Eating Disorder Association, is with us. She founded this in June of 2008, recognizing the need for an organization to advocate for on behalf of individuals affected by binge eating disorder and all the providers who treat them. And, you know, she herself has had a lifetime of living with binge eating disorder and an amazing career in healthcare, pharmaceutical industry, political and nonprofit arenas. And with that whole skill set, she is now turning the tide on our understanding of binge eating disorder. Shavice, welcome to Her Radio.
Well, thank you, Dr. Peek. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Well, let's just hit it. We got 5 ways to stop binge eating in its track, and the first one looks like never eat directly from the whole carton, bag, or box. Oh, boy. Have we all been there? I don't think I would have gotten through college without going through, you know, stacks of Oreos and all the rest of it. So help us with that one. Number one.
Well, you know, a binge does include this type of eating at times, and there also are subjective binges, which may not be quite as large as eating a whole box of anything. But I think the important thing is to really stop what you're doing and think about where your full attention is and put it on the craving, put it on that desire to binge, and focus on that. Because without the focus, the craving has a lot more power to build that internal feeling of I need something to just kind of calm me down, which is what binging does for many of us, or takes our attention off of whatever it is that's bothering us or the craving that's happening.
Well, we also want to be able to just take out an appropriate portion of any kind of food and put all the rest of whatever away. When people just sit there, no matter what it is, and just keep kind of, you know, diving into the bag or whatever it may be, it's all about really understanding how we want to nourish ourselves, right? With an appropriate portion that just makes sense for us, right?
Well, it certainly is, but sometimes the binge overrides that. And so we've got to be aware that, you know, you may serve yourself a portion, but in the throes of binge eating disorder, you may go and get yourself another portion. So I think we have to be realistic about the way this may play out. And even your best efforts to portion may not be enough. So it really is about going internally and figuring out how you're feeling and why you want to keep reaching for more.
Okay, and then when it comes to, well, how do you deal with sweets and treats? You know, people have said, mm-hmm. for instance, use smaller bowls, cocktail spoons, forks, you know, all kinds of little tricks of the trade so that, A, you can still have a treat if you can handle it. But what's your thought on that?
Well, I think that in the beginning when someone is starting to really notice they have this tendency to binge and overeat, that these can be helpful tools. I think that where we want to get is to the point where we are internally regulating that food intake. And so these are a good way to practice. But, you know, down the road, being able to listen to those hunger cues and really sort of being in touch with our body and beginning to understand. And I mean, we call that mindfulness. It's a tool that we use a lot in eating disorders, but just really starting to connect with how your body feels, and is it full? Is it really hungry? Because we know being really hungry can set us up for a binge, as well as, you know, the emotional aspects of this.
Well, Shavis, I think that that is an incredibly important point. I know that it's one that's really stressed in the binge eating world, and that is to be mindful, to pay attention, to be vigilant, to stay really associated with your mind and body, the feelings in it, both biological and physiological, as well as psychological. So let's go to that place of, you know, boredom, hunger, and cravings. I mean, suddenly there you are. One of those things is hitting. So what you're saying is you really want to just be in touch with yourself. Take a moment. Take a breath. Be mindful. Just say, yes. Where are you right now? Is that kind of where you're going? Go ahead, Shavis. Help us understand that.
Yes, definitely. And it's not easy. I'm the first one to say it's not easy. Just like anything, you know, that you want to master, it's going to take lots of practice. But in our rush world these days, we all know that we're grabbing things on the run, and our brains are getting used to that. And at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge that this is a neurobiological disorder. And that, you know, our brain is either deficient or has a bit too much of certain hormones, and they're dysregulated. And so mindfulness, the body of evidence is only just beginning to emerge, but mindfulness is showing that, you know, if we can slow down, if we can center ourselves and really understand what the cravings are about, that we can start to develop some new ways of dealing with the cravings and the emotional piece that goes with it. And you think about it, for the most part, a binge is really helping you to either calm anxiety or to sort of disassociate or not think about what's bothering you or the million of tasks you have to do for the rest of the day. So it really is a way to sort of calm the system.
Exactly. And I think you said that just so perfectly. It's a very psychobiological experience. There are changes that have taken place in the brain. There are some, you know, dysfunctions going on up there. At the same time, we also have the psychology. What's going on? What anxiety is going on? What stress is it that we want to numb and anesthetize ourselves from? What are we running from? And all of that has to be taken into consideration as we practice our mindfulness. You know, stress is probably one of the biggest issues here. I always love to say, you know, when you look at the word stressed, if you spell it backwards, it's desserts. I'm sure God made it that way for a reason, Shavis. And that is, you know, when we are stressed, it's not radicchio or, you know, arugula we're running to or tuna on a bed of greens. It's always the sugary, fatty, salty stuff that really tends to be a lot of the cue and trigger foods that get us into trouble, that anesthetize, that numb, as you just said. So it's important to really look at that issue of stress in a big way. So, Shavis, you've helped us understand some ways to stop binge eating in its tracks, really staying in touch with your core. We are so very, very honored that you've joined us. Shavis Turner is founder of the Binge Eating Disorder Association. Please go to BETA.com to learn more about Shavis's incredible work. Thank you so much. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is Her Radio. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.